Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I'm Ted Kluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we are recording at not the most opportune time. This is a Friday afternoon for us in the studio. So we do this because we love radio and we love our listeners. And we want to get back on to the typical schedule of dropping on a Monday morning. So this is kind of a labor of radio love right now. And I want to tell you boys about something new that's kind of coming down the pike with Lagares Roasters, our coffee company. Ooh. So if you haven't done so already, visit happyrantpodcast.com, click on coffee, check out Hector Lagares and the Happy Rant signature coffee blend that people are raving about all over the internet. I got a visit, boys, from Hector Lagares the other day, and he brought me some chocolate bars that he has infused with coffee grounds, and they were incredible. Dude, it was
that sounds amazing.
It had a little bit of a crackle, Nestle's Crunch. Like a Crunch bar, except the crackle was provided by the coffee grounds. And dude, it smelled and tasted so heavenly. Hector is he's kind of sussing out ways to get this to the marketplace quickly. So I think in a matter of weeks we'll have Happy Rant chocolate bars, coffee infused bars for the listeners. Which I'm super pumped about.
That sounds insanely good. I need one right now because I need both chocolate and coffee to give me energy.
Absolutely. It's 3:30 on a Friday afternoon. We're all dead. We could use one of these Happy Rant signature coffee bars stat. So people should check out Lagares Roasters. They should also check out our Live in Louisville event page, right? Pipe, tell us about that event. Tell us about where to find that online, how to buy tickets, etc.
Yes, if they go to happyrantpodcast.com, that is our main site. So it's where you can find information about the coffee and our Mission Aware swag and everything there. You can listen to old episodes. One of the feature spots there is our event coming up on October 22nd. It is at one of the Sojourn campuses in Louisville, Kentucky. So for me, that's just a two and a half hour drive north. For Ted, it's maybe 3 hours. And Ronnie is making a great investment to be there and driving many more hours. But he's in town for a conference anyway, so it works out as he is wont to be traveling to conferences. But it's from 8 to 10 in the evening, and we will mingle with listeners. We will have Lagares Roasters coffee there. We will record at least a couple episodes, do a Q&A with people. You can come and just ask Ronnie open-ended questions like, how are you? What's your favorite music? Those are his favorites, as we discussed last week. We already had multiple listeners volunteer to hit you with those questions, Ronnie. So it'll be a grand old time. And yeah, so it's just a chance to get together and us to meet the people who support this podcast, and then for you to see what it looks like for us to do this amazing, amazing entertainment. It does cost $10, and that is to go to help foot the bill for the audio and to pay some of our to make sure that Hector is compensated. And I have to say,
for
I need to clear some
for the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, just our uppers so that we can make it, because 8 to 10 is really late for a bunch of old dudes. I have to clear something up. I got called out by a listener because we were saying that we're not getting rich off this event. He went and bought tickets like an awesome listener. And then he said, but my bank statement showed that went to Barnabas Piper's PayPal account. And I just need to be transparent and say, yes, that money does come to me. But really, do you want a pastor or a professor managing the money for this account? Wouldn't you rather have the business professional doing that? And I'll just leave that there and say it's in trustworthy hands.
Pipe, that's big of you. That's big integrity. Wow. It's transparency here on the program, even though we are a huge business. We frequently offer people a peek behind the curtain just at how we do things, and I hope they're pleased with that. Now, Pipe, would you say that what we have coming up in Louisville is a gala? Would you say that it's a Happy Rant gala of sorts?
I feel like gala implies bow ties or cummerbunds, and I don't intend to wear. Although you did say you were going to dress up like Al Mohler at one point, and that also involves a bow tie. So there's
Dude,
a possibility.
I may still dress up like Al Mohler. If I can locate the right bow tie between now and live in Louisville, I will pop that on that night. And the reason I ask about galas is that Acts 29, the hipster church planning network that we all know so well, recently had their annual conference, but they called it a gala. And I want to ask Big R, because he's such a frequenter of Louisville. I think, Ron, don't you have just an apartment that you keep in Louisville for the rigorous conference schedule that you keep in that town?
I have. Well, obviously, I have a custom tiny house.
It's a tiny loft.
A former shipping crate that has been retrofitted to your needs.
Precisely.
Lovely.
It's a really minimalist, nicely appointed shipping crate, though, Python.
It's a minimalist shipping crate that I Airbnb when I'm not there for one of my four conferences.
That's right.
So, yeah.
So, Big R, what do you make of this? Did you go to this gala? Because you're kind of affiliated with A29, are you not?
No, I'm not. I'm not affiliated with A29 at all. I'm affiliated with Sojourn Network.
Sojourn.
But I have. But you know what though? But I you know, a lot of Sojourn guys do. They dip their toe in both networks. So some Sojourn guys.
I misspoke. Sojourn is the hipster one. What's A29? What's like their persona as a?
I think A29 was. I think A29 were like the OGs, right? They were the OH. They were
the original
hipsters.
Plaid and beards.
Yeah, and then Sojourn basically split off at some point a few years back. Citing hipster differences and
hipster creative differences.
Absolutely. So we, you know, our aim was to be smaller and a little more exclusive. And I should probably shut up. But that's what happened. But in terms of like why they're
certain dedications, and you'll be fine.
Right. I mean, in terms of why Matty Chan decided to go with the term gala instead of conference. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to sort of posh it out a little bit or like what the deal is with that.
I think it's instead of retreat, because for every year, Acts 29 takes all of their lead pastors. I think it's just the lead pastors go to a retreat, and they always do it in a nice place. Like they're looking to take care of the pastors. But this year they did it at the Opryland, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel in Nashville, which it's more kitschy than it is fancy, but, but there's a lot of big meeting rooms and things like that. And they called it a gala or a gala or a gala, or, you know, I don't know the proper pronunciation for these things, 'cause I generally don't attend them.
Yeah. But dude, I don't know if it was, that's the thing. So I don't know if it was for their retreat or if it's their conference. Well, they do like different things. Like we do different things too. So like, I don't know if this was like the retreat thing that they do like on the beach once a year, or if this is their fancy, you know, we're getting a little more serious. This is our conference, but we're going to bow tie it out. We're going to Al Mohler it out. You know,
I think it was instead of the retreat, because that's generally in the summer, and usually, you know, spouses are invited and paid for as well. Like they really do it up to take care of these pastors, which is a thing that I think is great. I just think it's really funny, because it's like watching a lumberjack get all dressed up for the first time is watching Acts 29 do a gala. It's like
you might be right. You might be right about that. Yeah, this
like
might be their annual summer retreat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a toddler dressed up for Easter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they just want to pro it up a little bit. You know what I mean? They don't want it to be they want to move to the next level. When they go to Exponential, they want to be able to say, "Hey, you know what? We're not just those dudes, you know, faking it in the plaid shirts anymore and the suspenders." You know?
Can I ask you both kind of a hot takey question? And this is one that's gonna bring me some abuse, and I acknowledge that up front. Let me preface this by saying, I deeply love and appreciate what pastors do. That said, nobody's necessarily throwing me a conference or a gala or a weekend at the beach just to, quote, take care of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just a weird expectation. And is it because these are just affluent kind of high-end church planning networks where the understanding is all these kids kind of come from some money and they're used to a certain level of, you know, being taken care of, and that's just what it looks like? But I don't know. I have friends in other denominations, you know, like American Baptists, who, you know, like a retreat for them is sort of, you know, like Kool-Aid at a depressing church camp in Alabama. You know what I mean? So I just think the scale is a little bit different. And is this sort of the expectation in these kind of circles that you get this sort of swanky, you know, pampering once a year?
Yeah, I think that's well said, Big T. Number one, the reason why you don't get any of this is because you're not a pastor and you don't need this kind of taken care of. You know,
dude, right. I clearly don't work as hard as pastors.
Is that because pastors are like little tender snowflakes?
Yeah, I think it's a combo. And number two, I think the mindset, right, behind like A29 and Sojourn is, you know, we don't want to be this, like, you know, standing in like the courtyard of like a middle school with warm Kool-Aid. We want to up the ante a little bit. You know what I mean? We want to posh it out. We don't want to be the budget network. We don't want to just do the kind of things that have been embarrassing in terms of church conferences and retreats in years past.
Who are you impressing with that besides each other? You know what I mean?
You're just impressing the pastors by saying, hey, we don't have to feel guilty about spending a little money to posh it out a little bit.
Kind of a recruiting thing, kind of like if you join A29, you'll get to, you know, kick it on the beach with your lady once a year.
Rather than it being like, hey, you know, for too long, church conferences, denominational retreats, like they've been like really like subpar. So let's change that reputation. We can do something that shows pastors that we are, you know, we care a little bit more. And I think that's been the mindset behind it.
So, now, is there anybody asking if, I mean, does anybody feel like that's a waste of money? I mean, I'm not saying it is. I'm just curious. It just seems like the kind of question that somebody would ask.
Yeah, there's probably people that ask that question, but it's easily answered by saying, no, we value this kind of money being spent on pastors that need like what we consider to be like a good time away where they are pampered a little bit, because we know when they go back to their churches, you know, they might not get this kind of care. So
Do pastors actually need extra care? Because I guess
what I was asking, Pipe, not very eloquently, but you said
I made the joke about them being tender snowflakes, which is, you know, it's no more true than any other job. There are some who are, you know, very soft and tender, and others who are tough and can take all of the shots. I grew up in a pastor's household, so I'm familiar with the rigors of the job as well as the demands put on a pastor. And there is an element in which, you know, pastors are bearing other people's burdens more than other jobs. However, I also grew up in a house where my dad very rigorously took vacation every year. You know, so he would use his vacation time. He would put it all in a lump, you know, so one block of time, and we would disappear and he wouldn't work. And so, like, is this just sort of, and he wasn't part of a denomination that took them to galas in Nashville where they dressed up in suits and ate filet, or whatever it is that they did. I saw a lot of very pretty pictures from my X29 friends. You all look lovely. Your wives all look more lovely than you do because they actually know how to dress for a gala. You look like little boys all dressed up. But,
because you married up and she's so hot. And
yeah, because yeah, because media. Because your wife is smoking, as you say, from the pulpit regularly, or at least you did when you were a youth pastor, and every pastor out kicks their coverage. That said, I understand the rigors of the job. I also wonder, like, do pastors just need to be better about taking vacation?
People in other walks of life just kind of manage this on their own. I don't know.
Right. And this is an honest question. Like, I'm not trying to take shots. I'm genuinely curious why this is a special thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think so. I know the mindset behind Sojourn and probably A29 is that it's not, you know, it doesn't really serve as a vacation. I think what it is, it's about getting all the dudes together that are part of this network. And this is a way for them to just spend 3 or 4 days where they can engage. They can maybe establish some friendships that they haven't had. And they can get treated, you know, they can get a little first-class treatment. But I mean, again, all these guys would also say, well, dude, you got to take a vacation. Like, there needs to be a vacay, you know, included in your sketch, you know? So I think that's, I think that's part of it. And I think part of it is breaking away from the old school, really, you know, horrible, you know, we're a denom that just, you know, does a once a year conference and nobody likes it. Nobody really wants to be there. They want to create something that pastors actually want to be at. I certainly don't think they're saying like this is going to cover the rest of your days off and your vacation for the rest of the year, because it doesn't. It's just they want to create an environment that's actually fun to be at, and it's a little life giving, and you know, the food's better. So yeah,
I think that makes sense. And I think if they're not making a claim that this is anything, or like if they're not claiming the necessity of this, they're just saying, hey, once a year, we want to do something special for our pastors. So like the leaders of the organization are saying, we're going to do express appreciation. We're going to do something special and we can afford it. Shoot, go for it. Have a good time. I just wondered if they're trying to sort of sanctify what is essentially a good time. And if so, that seems a little odd. If not, and they're just like, this is just appreciation for people, then I hope they enjoyed their bow ties.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's anything. Yeah, you know, I don't think they're trying to overplay it as much as, you know, they usually bring out a good speaker or two. And, you know, they brought out Zach Eswine for our retreat and this year. And it's just really just getting to hang out. And they like to do it in a way where they pay for everything. You know, as you pay into the network, one of the things that you get for being a part of the network is that you get this really fun retreat that's all kind of – that's kind of given to you, and you know, you don't have to, it's no expense out of pocket. And, so yeah, it's just kind of something fun. And, so yeah, it's a party for 3 or 4 days, you know, like you just said, Big T, like I'm sure some people are like, man, this is probably a lot of cash, and you know, how do they justify this? And I think they justify it because they want to model how to rest well and how to do things not always on the cheap, which I think have been characteristic of denoms and networks in the past. And they don't want to promote that kind of mentality. So I'm probably getting in trouble right now somehow. So I'm just going to shut up. Big T has literally just gone noticeably quiet pipe.
Yeah, he doesn't care. I think it is very cool that they fly out the spouses as well, because in my experiences in the church and in denominational things, usually the pastor's spouses are sort of forgotten. And so for them to be part of the leisure and the extravagance and all of the fun, and for that to be of value, I think is pretty cool too.
Dude, I mean, when are we going to do a Happy Rant retreat all covered by Ligaris Roasters?
Oh,
I mean, that's,
yeah,
I mean, is Heck willing to fund something like that?
We're graduating right now from the retreat, and we're going to do a gala.
Well, that's fine,
boys. We got to just pamper each other for about 4 days, man. That's.
I think we're going to start it live in Louisville. You know,
yeah,
it's tough. I mean,
I don't know how to tie a bow tie. Am I still invited?
People don't understand what we go through, you guys. I mean, just to bring to bring something like this every week. I mean, we really need some pampering.
The rigors of the job.
Yeah, that's right. It's tough.
What would this event have been called if Mark Driscoll himself were still president of Acts 29? Because it would not have been a gala at a fancy hotel. What would it have been instead?
Oh man, I don't know what it was. I mean, definitely it definitely had a name back in the day, right? When Driscoll was still running the show. I don't know.
It's just hard to picture like gingham shirts under blazers with, you know, and then like tables with flowers and catered meals with Mark Driscoll and his, you know, his leather dog collars and things like that up front. Dude, screaming at people.
You are describing something so awesome right now, Pipe. I mean, that's, we need to literally start thinking about something like this for the three of us. Cause I'm feeling
you replace
like
the bow ties with leather dog collars and we're there. You know?
And I'm in.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling the need for that right now. I mean, this podcast has become something unmanageable for me. So I'm gonna get our handlers on that. I'm gonna get Heck Ligaris on that. I'm gonna talk to some of our sponsors and see what we can do about that. You know, for sure. And really, if any of our listeners out there want to help with that, they can do that.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Did you see Django Unchained, the Tarantino picture?
I did. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I loved it.
I loved it too. But there was the part with like, you know, just two dudes fighting to the death for some people's entertainment. I feel like a Driscoll comp would involve some of that. you know?
That's true. It would absolutely involve an octagon. The stage would have been octagonal, and it's possible that there would have been actual fighting.
Dude, octagonal is a great word that I've never heard anybody pronounce before. So thank you, Pipe.
Well, you're welcome.
That just gave me some energy. I feel like I'm alive now. I feel like my Fridays were just transformed into octagonal. Is it octagonal or octagonal or octagonal?
Octagonal.
It's kind of like gala. I don't know where we're going with
the leave the word anal out of it. That never goes well.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to pronounce it correctly, boys. I mean, I don't want to be caught, saying something wrong.
I love it.
I'm glad boys. You have octagonal energy.
Yeah. Speaking of such things and pampering and trips, one of the listener suggestions, we're going to go listener generated suggestions for the next two topics. One was, what are our bucket lists? People want to know what's on our bucket lists. And I guess I can kick this one off by saying that I don't really use the term bucket list, nor do I have one, because I feel like life is generally about sort of trying to do what I want to do anyway. And I don't feel like there's a lot that would be on a list like that I haven't already done or tried to do. But I am familiar with the term, and I know that it's a thing for some people. But I wonder, A, if you guys are bucket list people, and if so, what's on them? So, Pipe, let's start with you.
I don't have like an official bucket list, and that doesn't tend to be my frame of mind, because I feel like what that does for me anyway, I have a hard enough time being satisfied with the life I live. And if I'm constantly thinking about all the things I haven't yet done, it feels, empty. But there are some things I would love to do or places I would love to visit, So if we broke this down into like, all right, well, what are the top three or four countries you'd like to visit? Well, that I could answer. It's places like Australia, New Zealand. I would love to take a trip there. I would love to visit Ireland and Scotland. I'd love to go to the Far East and, visit China, Hong Kong. But I don't have like a bucket list of things that, I really want to do this thing. I'm also not the most adventurous person. Like, I will try anything that somebody like throws in front of me. Like, if I had a friend who was like, hey, I need somebody to go skydiving with me, I would totally go, but I'm never going to plan a skydiving trip. Hmm. If I had a friend who was like, hey, I want to learn how to do bull riding. Okay, I'll try that. But I would never – it's not a thing that I'm going to go out and do. So I think I need other people to have bucket lists, and then I'll just join them in doing their fun stuff. So, Ronnie, if you had a bucket list, I would join you in your fun stuff, although I suspect your bucket list might be kind of boring.
Dude.
Whoa, wow.
You're the one who was like –
why do you say that?
Man, Rachel the Hell to Evans, I got to go.
Because Ronnie talks about anything outdoorsy like it's tolerated at best. So that sort of takes a lot of adventures off the table. And then he has sort of this like, man, I'm fine kind of attitude in most cases, which means he probably isn't like chasing and aspiring to a lengthy bucket list of novel experiences.
Hmm. Interesting.
Am I wrong?
You are absolutely correct.
I feel justified.
Even right now, and let me just say this, right? This is the first time that I've ever even given the thought of a bucket list more than like 4.3 seconds of my life. Like, my mind so does not work that way. I haven't like, you just named off a bunch of countries that you'd like. You got to give me a minute here. Like, I don't even have that. Like, I don't even know. I tend to think more like
the Sojourn Gala next year is in like Singapore, so you get to cross that off your bucket list.
Baby, who needs a bucket list when you're part of the Sojourn Network and you have a gala go to every year?
Dude, you got galas every year in exotic places. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean that is my. They've given me my bucket list. Why come up with something when you have somebody who's given it to you every year?
When you sign with Sojourn, they actually give you a bucket list, like, engraved in leather, handcrafted. So they actually send me a
wooden bucket, and there's a list in it, and whatever I fill out, they make my dreams come true.
It's a vintage, like, artisan wooden bucket, though. It's not just any wooden bucket.
Well, of course, yeah. obviously.
Yeah. It was actually used for milking cows on a rural Kentucky farm at one point.
That's right.
That's where they got these buckets from. It's really remarkable how they have.
Okay, the only place that I've ever thought of recently that I didn't think of it in terms of bucket list, but the only location that I keep thinking I would love to go to someday is Iceland. That one keeps coming back to me.
Yeah,
so that's kind of
interesting. That would be in my top 5 or 10 countries to visit for sure. I had a friend who went there last year and it looked and sounded from his experience amazing.
Well, dude, Iceland is literally like a magical country. Like there's a good chance like you're going to see like a magical otherworldly creature there if you go to Iceland. That's kind of what I believe about it. So that's why that's always kind of been in my head. Like, you know, like when somebody comes back from Iceland and they go, you know, I'm not sure, but I think I saw like a fairy. You kind of go, oh, well, yeah, because it's Iceland, right? So that's kind of how I've always thought of Iceland, because Bjork's there and she's kind of a magical creature. I've always thought, man, that's where I need to go. So there you go.
That's why I want to go to New Zealand, because isn't that where hobbits live?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the same kind of place. It just doesn't have quite the chilly, majestic sort of feel that Iceland does. And I'm going to go so far to say right now, boys, that I don't preclude us doing a live in Iceland event one of these days.
Dude, I was just going to say that, man. We're on the same page. I would love to do a little live in Iceland.
I know sure we're on the same page, Big T. Yeah,
listenership there.
I don't even. I mean, we'd have to take a private plane there, because I don't know what would happen when we got off the plane. And we need security.
Yeah, baby, it would be pandemonium. Like yeah, we'd need security. You know, it's going to be like the Beatles. So if you are an Icelandic listener to the program, please write. Let us know how much you'd like to see live in Iceland. And in English, obviously. And we would love to come to Iceland. If any Icelandic businesses want to underwrite and sponsor that kind of an endeavor, we would be all over it.
We're all over. You call me Snow Miser. I mean, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm ready to be there.
Maybe Bjork will sponsor the podcast.
I think Bjork would be happy to do, or Sigur Rós, or one of these, you know, Icelandic, you know, like artists that's all obviously they're probably massive Rant fans. I don't even doubt that for a second. Yeah, huge. Huge is the appropriate word. Yeah.
Pipe, anything else on bucket lists? Any other bucket list items for you?
I would love to visit every major league ballpark, watch a game at every single one.
Wow.
It's hard to call it a bucket list, because if I died without doing it, I would not feel like my life was any emptier. But if I got a chance to do it, that would be pretty sweet.
Interesting.
Big T, what about you, man? Why don't you lay out some BLs for us?
It's tough, you guys. I think I'd like to do like time traveling. Like I'd like to go to the past, because I feel like everything I want to do.
We get to just like make stuff up. I didn't know we could do fiction.
I'm making stuff up right now, because I thought one of them might be like I've never gone down to like Florida or Arizona for spring training baseball. But then I was like, I want to do that in the 80s. You know what I mean? I don't want to do it now where it's all commercialized and it's just like going to a regular game. You know what I mean? I want to go with like my grandpa where we can stretch out like gentlemen and just, you know, I don't know, enjoy it like it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. So all of mine, I think, would require like some time travel as a key element.
Big T, when you do that, say hi to my pops, because he used to do that every year, man. Go down to.
Did he really?
Because that's where the Dodgers, like that's where their farm team is, right? Isn't that where they are?
They were in Vero Beach, I think.
Yeah,
was that the Angels?
Dodger Town. Yeah, Dodger Town.
Yeah, Vero Beach is where the Dodgers were. The Angels might have been in Arizona. Did he go to Arizona or Florida?
Yeah, were you talking about Arizona, Big T? What were you talking about?
Yeah, I said Arizona and Florida. There was the Cactus League, that's in Arizona, and the Grapefruit League is in Florida.
Wow.
It's like half and half.
Got real creative with the names there. But.
They did. Yeah, they did a nice job with that.
Yeah, they did a real great job with the Cactus League, right? They probably drank
maybe,
Cactus
maybe one of your Maybe one of your Sojourn comps will be in conjunction with spring training one of these years, man.
You know what? If that's true, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bucket list. I'm going to grab my bucket list that Sojourn sends me every year. I'm going to write your name down as a potential speaker. And then that way you can come down to Arizona. You can watch a little Cactus League and tell us something about, you know, all that stuff that you know about.
I can wear my flannel shirt buttoned all the way up to my neck, and it'll be 150 degrees, but I'll still wear it.
Yeah, and, do that and talk about all the stuff you know about. I mean, what is some of the stuff you know about? Tell me right now, so I can.
Maybe you know all the stuff I know about. I'm not. I don't want to bore the listeners with it.
Just the stuff. So just write the stuff that you know about, and that'll be the stuff that they understand.
Well, just, no, all you got to do is just put like speaker Ted Kluck, and people will go, "Oh, Ted's speaking." Like it's that stuff.
Yeah,
that's true. It's
Ted. It's Ted's stuff.
Ted is a brand in and of himself.
Yeah,
dude, I'll put it in my vintage bucket, and I'll just drop it in a river and hope that it gets to the Sojourn people. I know that
you
it
mean
will.
Like you mean like bucket list in a bottle, like something
bucket list
like
in
that.
A bottle. Yeah, that's where
I like
that's
that man.
Yeah.
Oh bucket my gosh, man!
I feel like bucket list in a bottle could be a song you write, Ronnie.
I mean, maybe, if it I was wasn't already like the Jim Croce song.
A Jim Croce song.
Check this out. So I'm in California last week, and I'm in my hotel, and the Lifetime channel comes on, and they're doing a week in July of all of
So it just comes on, it just like springs to life as you walk in.
It just springs to life. Like I didn't click on Lifetime. Lifetime just popped in.
I walk in,
and the TV just
TV.
It was like I was in Iceland, and the TV just magically comes on, and Lifetime channel pops up, and they're playing a week long. They have a week-long series of all of their best Christmas Lifetime movies.
Oh,
and I'm looking around thinking like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm thinking like, is this a practical joke by like you and Pipe? Like I wasn't sure what was going on in the moment.
Maybe it's magical. Did you even go to any of your meetings or did you just watch Christmas?
I don't go out of season like that. Like I'm not an out of season guy. I get offended by things of that nature. But there was this one – there was this one Lifetime Christmas movie, and it came on. I'm trying to finish like prepping for this talk I'm doing, and I'm telling you, it just roped me in, and I watched the last half of it. And I want to confess that to you guys right now and to our listeners that normally I don't do that, but I did. I was at a Hyatt Place, Big T, which I sent you the picture of. You saw it, so I'm not making this up. And I finished the Lifetime Christmas movie, and I feel bad about that. That's out of season for me, and I don't typically do that. That wasn't a bucket list item for me at all. But I just want to—I want to have a vulnerable moment right now and just let that one off, get off my chest a little bit. So anyway, yeah,
that's huge.
I mean, everybody slips up now and again. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, just don't. I mean, you got to work on that. But everybody makes mistakes. You're a good company.
You have like an accountability guy for that, like a Covenant Eyes guy. You can just text him and be like, "Dude, I looked at some Christmas movies in July. You know, I just want to come clean." I want to be upfront about that.
Well, maybe I don't. You are that. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. If you
haven't called him, he's already seen the report that was sent to his inbox, and it was like Ronnie watched
the Christmas sweater. Yeah,
Ronnie watched Christmas socks. Yeah, and and he's sweating trying to figure out like how do I confront Ronnie about this? Like we got to meet for coffee.
It's gonna be a tough conversation.
And and I got to bring it up. Like I have to go to him about this and be like, Ronnie, what's I saw the Christmas socks movie.
Piper, Christmas socks is offensive, man. You don't have to go to those places. You're better than that, man. Let's not bring this down into the gutter. You know, with Christmas.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make it dirty. My bad.
Christmas movies in July. It's every man's battle. You know, and. You know, don't sit here and tell me that you haven't been tempted by the same thing. You know what I mean?
I know. I feel like I'm getting some encouragement from you guys, but then I feel like there's a little bit of snark behind that, and I'm trying right now in my weakness to understand where that's coming from. So,
Ron, I'm not going to sit here and say that I haven't looked at Christmas movies in July. I have, you know.
But see, this is the privileged position that I have, because if my struggle is not your struggle, I get to judge you for it, because that's how it works. And this is not my struggle. I however watch baseball movies in the off season, so that's my struggle. It's unique to me. So
you
I will watch the
guy for that.
I'll watch The Sandlot in January. I have to get that off my chest. So,
guys, this sounds like we have some things to do off the air now that we have to work out. We have some serious conversations I think ahead of us.
Well, we might need some stuff that we're dealing with. Is the thing.
Right. We might need to bring in somebody from the outside to help us with this.
Should we get Paul Tripp's mustache to come help us?
Paul Tripp, if you're out there and if you listen to the program, I mean, we would appreciate you joining us on some pre-show prep so that we can get some things off our chest.
Boys, you know Paulie T is a listener. I mean.
Oh, there's no doubt. Guys, let's say hi to Paulie T real quick. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paulie,
what's
Paul.
Up?
Tripp. It's good. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, loyal listener. Boys, we've got time for one more quick topic. This is another good listener suggestion. And the question is this. Would you invite a neighbor to church? And I think what the listener was getting at was just given like – I don't know, some of the unique things that happen in churches and just kind of the uniqueness or weirdness of our subculture in general. Like, would you actually invite a neighbor to church? And I'll start with you, Big R. You're a pastor, you're a man of the cloth, church planner. So obviously you have, I would assume, invited people to church. What do you make of that question?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, man. I think I get the sentiment behind it. You know, I'm in a smaller community, right? So what happens is I'll get to talking. I don't know. I don't lead with that. You know, eventually people know what I do. And when they find out what I do, you know, it's kind of a natural next step for me to say, well, hey, you know, why don't you join us in the warehouse? We meet on Sunday mornings at 10, you know, and just see, I throw it out there and I see where it goes. It's yeah. Usually the most unsuccessful invitation I give out because it's not produced a lot of fruit, you know, in that way. But I can see why people would be messed up about it in some ways. It's something where it feels very agenda fueled. And I think people are funny about it, especially when it's the only thing they get from somebody instead of any further type of desire for relationship or anything beyond that. So yeah, I think you have to handle it with care, but yeah, it's come out of my lips a few times, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't think I would cold invite somebody. You know, like when churches do the, well, bigger churches, maybe it's just in the South, do the big like seasonal thing. So it's like a big Easter service, big Christmas service, and they're like, invite your neighbors, you know, and they'll go do like doorknob hangers and things like that. That feels very strange to me. Mm-hmm. Or just like somebody I don't know well being like, hey, I know we haven't really talked before, but would love it if you came to church with me on Sunday and experienced a really strange ritual where we sing songs in the key of Tomlin, and then somebody shouts at us for 25 minutes, and then there's an altar call, and then we go home.
25 is all your guys going? That's incredible.
Are you describing the Trinity Church right now? Or, I mean, what are we?
Maybe.
Where are we at with that? Right? What are we talking about, man?
That was a mashup of church experiences. if I went to a more reformed church where the sermon was like 45 minutes, I might be even less inclined because nobody wants to listen to 45 minutes of a sermon. Period.
Here's the thing, man. I do go to a reformed church where the sermon is every bit of 45 minutes, if it's a minute. So, and I do invite people to church. I try to do this, but I brief my people in great detail about what they're
going to tell us. Do you have like a printout? It's like, here. Read this first.
Dude, I have a printout. I actually have a flyer. Yeah.
You wear a lanyard that just lays out like everything that's going to be the entire liturgy that morning.
Dude, I give him a lanyard with the entire liturgy. So being that it's a Reformed church and we're kind of down with the Puritans, I mean, they're looking at every bit of 2 hours. All right? If they think they're going to be in and out of there in less than 2 hours, they're nuts.
Sweet mother of holiness. That is horrendous.
Yeah. Oh, pipe. And they're looking at standing for at least an hour of that. Okay, so I tell them
how much of it is like stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. You can be like, you can pitch it as like an exercise class.
Well, dude, I tell them it's gonna be a leg day. Okay, so they're looking at leg day. So you don't want to do legs on Saturday, all right? And then go and do legs again on Sunday. So you got to give the quads a rest, all right? So I tell them maybe ice packs afterwards, a little ice on the knees after. You know, that's kind of the key to. You know, to really excelling in a reformed context.
Man. Is that provided by your Reformed Baptist church?
It does. We have a training room actually, so they can get a little rub down and sit in the cold tub, you know, a little bit after the service if they need that. So, you know,
Pipe, aren't you at a Presby church now, dude? Your services should be like every bit of 2 hours. I mean, what are you talking
about? Well, baby, I'm at a Reformed kind of Southern Baptist church, so
yeah. But Pipe said like a Reformed Presby church, right?
I can neither confirm nor deny that since I still work in the SBC. So, right.
Oh wow, did I just ruin everything?
You didn't ruin. I go to a church that's, you know, they do some things with some
people
stuff.
Serious.
And
a lot of baby stuff going on there and stuff.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of babies at the church, yeah, and some wet dedications here and there, and I mean, I've been test driving this thing for a little bit, and
kicking the tires, Pipe.
No, it's not. It is not a 2 hour service. It is like an hour and 20 minutes.
There you go. I knew you could justify it.
And that includes communion every Sunday.
Of course.
Dude, we go community every Sunday as well. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, but you guys got 2 hours to fit it in. So, of course you do. You should be able to do communion twice.
Dude, I'm starting to do. You know what I recommend for our visitors, too? Just bring a little Cliff Bar. You know, just a little something for, you know, like halfway through, you know.
Or just otherwise tell, just tell the church it. To, you know, do Cliff Bars for communion. You know, I think that's a better idea. So,
can we do communion mid-service so that I can make it to the end? And guys, we give big helpings.
We give everybody
a Cliff Bar. I love this.
We do yes. full-size whatchamacallits for everybody for communion.
You know, that's we give everybody a Hot Pocket.
It's Cliff Bars and red Gatorade.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, dude, that's what we're doing.
That would be great from a just like replenishing the nutrient standpoint.
I'm well, and I think lie. A lot. I think a lot more people would be more excited about it if we're just going to be blood honest about it.
If we're going to be Puritans, oh, I feel like boom. That's the Puritans.
What full size whatchamacallits? Is that where those candy bars came from? Are they that old? Yeah, that's a delicious candy bar, man. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That is an unbelievably delicious candy bar.
Baby, what's whatchamacallit, man? I have to be honest. I can't remember like what.
Oh my gosh, Big T. I want you to get off this program and go buy yourself a full-size whatchamacallit ASAP.
Baby,
I
mean, listen to me. I'm talking business right now. What are the odds we could get a whatchamacallit sponsorship?
I mean, probably slim, but if we did.
Listen to my logic, baby. It strikes me as not a top-tier candy bar anymore. Like, we're not in that Butterfinger kind of Snickers, you know, echelon.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not on that level. But it's definitely
like it kind of used to be a contender. You know what I mean?
It's a B-list. It's a B-list candy bar for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was a Reformed pastor, it would be who? Who's a B-lister? Who's solidly in the B-list for us?
I mean, it would be a Jared C. Wilson.
It'd be a Jared C. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
It'd be a Joe Thorne or Jared C. Well, I mean, Joe Thorne's more of a C. Yeah, it'd be a Jared C. Wilson, I think.
Dude, Thorne's a high C, low B. Thorne's like a B minus, yeah. C plus. You know?
But see, yeah, but yeah, Jared C.'s like a B plus, A minus. So yeah,
I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jared C. would be a whatchamacallit.
Interesting. Like if you're really
in the let's flesh this out on our next. Let's flesh this out a little bit more in the next podcast.
Pastors as candy bars.
Yeah, like
pastors
what candy bars are they?
I like this.
All right, I'm writing this one down because otherwise I guarantee we'll all forget by the time we hit Rachel the Held Evans.
Yeah,
which should
and
be
we'll talk
now,
we'll I talk think. About what we'll talk about what candy bar she is too.
Oh my gosh, dude! I shudder to think all the things that. I just stopped myself from saying like four things.
I just stopped myself from thinking.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm just going to laugh because it's way safer than using words.
Baby, express your thoughts right now. I want to hear what's going on in that Big T brain of yours.
Baby, I'm not expressing any thoughts because anything I say will
I'm
be.
I'm begging you to express your
Kenan
thoughts.
Kenan will be used against you in a behavioral hearing.
Please express.
College.
Baby, if there's ever been a thought in your mind, please express it.
I'm just trying to think of the perfect candy bar pairing for Rachel the Held Evans, which is going to be a little bit of a challenge. I'm not going to lie. So
let's take some time, and by time I mean a week to think about.
I'm going to take a few days to think about it, and you know, I think we're all going to come back a little bit more energized for this conversation.
Baby, for the love of everything good and pure, end this podcast.
If we wrap the program, that's what I was saying. I was about to wrap the program, boys. We've wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.